Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody asked me a while ago, you know, we take a lot of things for granted, but you know, we get folks in here from every walk of life, every bit of church background, and some of us come in with no church background, somebody said, well, why do people raise their hands? And I just, you know, the generic answer was, you know, well, that's praising God, you know. But while we were singing there, I just thought I remembered my kids when they were little and when they wanted to be picked up. What did they do? Daddy, Daddy. And so I guess maybe that's why we raise our hands, because we need Daddy to pick us up. And so, yes, give him some praise. Give him some praise. And I'm believing him to pick you up today. How about that? Well, have you got a few minutes? Then let's just spend a few minutes together. How about that? I want to read you a verse. Probably haven't ever heard it before, but it's John chapter 10, verse 27. And it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Holy Spirit, we want to hear your voice clearer. We want to hear, but we not just want to hear, we want you then to enable us to do what we hear. So we thank you for that and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say, I'm a sheep. Hold it. Now, if you're not a sheep yet, that just means you haven't asked Jesus into your heart, okay? So everybody in here, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Save me right now. See, if you get saved, you'll enjoy the message a lot better. That's how simple it is. It's just an act of the heart and expressing it with your mouth. The shortest prayer in the book, the shortest salvation prayer in the book was Paul on the road to Damascus. And when Jesus showed up, he said, Lord. And we know what happened in his life. Huh? So it's a matter of meaning. But everybody in here say something. I'm a sheep and I hear his voice. Say it again, I'm his sheep, and I hear his voice. You see, so we go through so much of our life not believing that we can hear God and just hoping that we can hear him every once in a while. But you know, he's talking to us all the time. And so, I don't know about you, but I've decided to try to tune in a little bit more. I've determined to try to develop this a little bit more. We've been talking about this. This is the seventh week now. If you've missed any of the messages, they're all on CD. You can go get you one, okay? But I made this statement last week. I can tell the difference in people that have been sitting in the service listening to this and people that haven't. When I talk to them, I can tell the difference. And it's just something neat about God. When we pursue him, when we go after him, when we begin to talk about his things and talk about things, those things begin to manifest in our life. And so if you're visiting here today, if this is the first time, we don't call you visitors, we just call you a first-time attender, because we believe you're going to come back. And yes, give anybody that's a first-time attender. And maybe it's your second or third time, but just let me say, I believe everybody needs a church home. And so we want to be your church home. Everybody needs a pastor, so I just won't be bashful about it. I'll just tell you right up front, I want to be your pastor because I want to help you. I want to lead you, help you get closer to the Lord, okay? But Jesus says here, he says, my sheep, they know me, they hear my voice. But he says, and then they follow me. How many know sometimes it's just not enough just to hear the voice? How many know then we've got to do what the voice tells us to do? So you know, and that's something that's a place that only you go by yourself with the Lord. That isn't a place where I preach a message and tell you what to do. That's a message where you hear something I say or somebody else says, and the Holy Spirit leads you in a direction, and He tells you. He says, they hear me, and they follow me. Or they hear me, and they do what I say. Lord, help me do what you say. This is an easy message to preach, but sometimes it's a hard one to live. So, how many know, you know, see, now you have to realize that we're all works in progress, and this is something the Holy Spirit develops in our life, because how many ever thought God told you something sometime, but then down the line you realize that he really didn't tell you that. Anybody? How many are here today? Okay. How many stayed home? Okay, a few of you. Well, okay, I'll get you here in a minute, okay? But you know, we hear so many voices now. We have so many thoughts, and we can go so many different directions, and it's easy to think we heard God and when we didn't really heard Him. Is that good English? So we have to learn to hear, and you do that. Sometimes it's trial and error, but you do that by doing what you think you hear Him say. And don't worry, it's not very long before you realize if He told you or not. And if He did, if you think He told you and then He really didn't tell you that, don't get all prideful and hold on to that for 20 years because you don't want to admit you're wrong. Just say, whoops, I missed it, God. Get me back on track. Huh? I know people that have made whole ministries out of the wrong thing God told them, and they're afraid to ever back up. And, you know, hey, if you make a mistake, just say, whoops, messed up, God. Help me. Help me. But we need to learn to hear, and we need to learn to hear and to decipher or to figure out which voice is His and which voice isn't. We know we've talked about that we are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. We have a physical body that houses the real person, our spirit. We have our mind, our intellect, our emotions. That's our soulish, that's the soulish part of us. And so we hear things from all these places. And, our flesh has a voice. Our flesh is the what we come in contact with the natural, with the world, all the five senses, what we feel and what we hear somebody say or what we see somebody do or what, the five senses. And so our body, our flesh, is always speaking to our mind because, you see, our mind is where we have our facilities, we have our reasoning power, we have our will. So your spirit, the real you in you, the part that's in contact with God, is speaking to your mind. It's speaking to you because whatever your mind decides, whatever you make your mind up to, your body will do. Your actions will follow what you think, what you reason out. So you see, we have all these things going. God's trying to speak to our spirit. The part of our spirit that speaks to us is the voice of our spirit is our conscience. And it's so that's why it's so important to get born again, because if you're not born again, you can't really trust your conscience. But if you're born again, then the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit and you're able to have a little guide there. But your spirit's always talking to your mind and the voice of your body, your five senses, the things you come in contact with this natural world, they're always shooting ideas to your head and then your mind, your soul, your mind makes up its mind, reasons. And determines what you're going to do. How many know it? Then it's a good. It'd be a good deal to get our thoughts right. get our minds right, get our minds renewed, as the Bible says. Just like your spirit. I want you to understand what I'm saying, and I know we've said it a bunch of times, but repetition sometimes gives us more revelation. But you know, your body. Your spirit this morning said, get up and get ready for church. But some of you, your body said, oh, I don't feel like it. It's cold outside. Oh, I don't know if I want to do that today. And your spirit's telling you, yes, get up and go and hear the word. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. But your body's going, oh, man, I'm tired. It's been a long week. This is the only day I got off. And I'm just going to stay home and rest. Your mind then takes all those voices, all those thoughts, and reasons them out. And an unrenewed mind will always cause you to do the wrong thing. Isn't that easy? That easy? Now you need to understand, the devil always speaks to us through the natural realm. The devil has no power in your life that you don't give him. The only thing he can use is the stuff with the physical and the body. He can use that, and he can shoot those thoughts in your mind, because if he can get you to think the wrong thing, then he can get you to do the wrong thing. Proof of that is, how did he get into this place to begin with? He got into this place by giving Eve the wrong thoughts, taking the words that God said and twisted them. He said the same words. He just twisted them and made them sound different. God said, you can eat of every tree in this garden. Just don't mess with that one over there. But you can have every tree in the garden. And what did the enemy say when he showed up? What did the devil say? He showed up and said, oh, so you can't eat every tree, huh? Now, if you learn, that's what 2 Corinthians, matter of fact, I'm just going to read it. 2 Corinthians 11. Let's see, where is it? Where's Sinclair? There it is. Nope, that's not it. There it is. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this. It says, well, I could have just looked on the screen, couldn't I? It said, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, what I want us to understand is our problems and our trials and our temptations come from him messing with us, his craftiness. And he, you know, he won't tell you, don't live for God, just backslide. No, he'll just say, well, but you don't have to today. Won't you just rest today? He won't tell you, because if he told you just quit living for God, you'd say, no, I'm not going to do that. So what does he do? He gets crafty. He just and then next week something comes up that's a little more doable than going to church, a little more exciting than going to church maybe, or you know, and just little by little by little by little, he deceives with his craftiness, deceives our mind, and causes us to end up in a place that God doesn't want us to end up in. But God says, I'll lead you through your spirit. Proverbs 20, do you understand? I want you to understand how he works. He doesn't have any power. He takes the power that God has and perverts it. He doesn't have any faith, so he takes faith and turns it into fear and uses fear to move us. And they're total opposites. I just want you to get that, because we're going, oh, the devil's after me. You know, the devil, the Bible says that whenever we're at the end of this thing and we're sitting there and Jesus parades the devil across to us, in front of us, we're going to go, you mean that's the one that deceived the nations? You mean that little scrawny, wimpy worm is the one that gave me all that trouble? I wish I could go back and have a do-over. Well, we can have a do-over now. Jesus said, I've put him under your feet. And so, won't you just grind him a little bit? Grind him a little bit. He says, God says, I'll lead you through your spirit. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit is the lamp of the Lord. King James says it's a candle of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. It's the candle. It's the light of the Lord. And just like whenever the days that this was written, you would take a candle, you would light a candle, and it would illuminate the room, and you could walk, and you could see where you were going. And what God's saying here is, I'm by my Spirit, I'm gonna illuminate you in your spirit. I'm gonna put light in your spirit so you can see which direction to go. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need a little direction. I mean, like all the time. I need some direction. He says, I'll light you up, I'll lead you, I'll guide you, I'll search you, I'll make you end up where you're supposed to be. I'll illuminate you. I'll help you see where you're going. I'll help you see where to go. Does that make sense? Romans 8, I love Romans 8 because it tells us that this Holy Spirit that's leading us and guiding us, Romans 8, this Holy Spirit that's leading us, that's guiding us, it says that he always knows the will of God, and he always knows the direction God wants in our life, the will of God for our life, and says that he's leading us, says he's searching all through this, all our inner parts, he's searching us, and he knows where God's taking us, he knows what God's going to do, and where he wants us to end up, and he's making intercession for us. And I go, wow, what a deal. No wonder, he says in verse 28, that because of that, now we know. We can know that all things work for our good because we're called according to his purpose. We love him. You see what he's saying? He's saying there's a little GPS inside of you. A big GPS inside of you. Anybody got a GPS? If you got a cell phone, you got a GPS, but everybody got a GPS. And it's always, you know, I've shared this a lot of times, but when I first got my first GPS and I had it turned on, and we were just going to Springfield, and about every 5 miles, in 100 feet, turn right, and in 50 feet, turn right, and in 12 feet, turn right, and then if you'd make a wrong turn, you'd go recalculating, and I just turned the voice all the way down. I looked at Pam, and I said, this is like having two wives in the car. So I just turned it down. Now I just leave the voice down, unless I need to hear it, you know. Anyway. I just said that because I knew that didn't make her mad. Oh, so anyway, he's always at work in us, see? He always knows where I'm supposed to end up. And he always knows which step I'm supposed to take. And so even if I take a wrong step, even if I make a wrong move, he recalculates me. He redirects me. He intercedes for me. Hold it. Don't step there. You're going to fall in a hole. How many ever fell in a hole? I fell in some holes when he said, don't step there, you're going to fall in a hole. And I went, where? You never did that, did you? So here's the thing, we're being changed. This is a process. Get this, see, because somebody listening to me, you think you got this figured. I can hear God, I know how to hear God. Yeah, you know how to hear a little bit of him. And if you go ahead and start a doctrine with that, you'll end up way out in left field somewhere too. See, because we're constantly learning. We're constantly growing. We're constantly being changed. In Ephesians 29, it says that's his purpose, that he predestined. His purpose for us before we were ever born, his purpose was for us that we would be conformed into the image of his Son. Do you understand what that means? He's trying to make us like Jesus. Ooh. Okay, I'll say it again. He's trying to make us like Jesus. He's trying to conform us in, yes, to the exact copy of Jesus, the exact image of Jesus. That's in your book. If you're going to tear that scripture out, then tear the whole page out. Huh? See, because we think, oh, that's sacrilegious. No, God wants us to be. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says it in a little different way. He says, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image of his Son, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. He says there, I'm using my Spirit, and I'm transforming you. You see, we have to want that. We have to want God more than we want everything else. I mean, we have to want to go after him. We have to want his will for our lives before we're ever going to find it. But what I want you to understand is this is a step-by-step process. Just like, ladies, when you look in the mirror, and guys too, some of us that have some hair left, you know, we look in, and if it's messed up, I'm trying to get it, and I'm trying to conform the image. But it's more than that, because as I behold Jesus, as I look at Jesus, as I stay involved with Jesus, and I look at him, just step-by-step, he transforms me. Glory, glory, from glory to glory, just little bit by little bit. Sometimes you don't even know the change. And something's changing inside of you, and you say something and you go, and I mean, a month ago you would have said it, you wouldn't even thought nothing about it, but now you say it and it goes, that didn't sound very good. I don't think I'll say that anymore. Being changed. Just something, you do something, and a month or two ago, it didn't bother you a bit to do that, but this time it just doesn't feel good. And so I don't think I'll do that anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying? Step by step. And that's the way we hear God as we move with him, as he speaks to us, and as we obey what he says to do, then we hear the voice more clearly. Well, but you have to want that. See, you know, you have to decide to unveil your face and look. I mean, you have to just decide, hey, God, I don't want to be like I am. I want to be like you want me to be. Well, why? Well, because the devil doesn't want this transformation to take place in our lives. Could I tell you that? Are you listening? If you listen, I'll hurry up here. But the devil, he had enough trouble with one Jesus. He doesn't want a million Jesuses. Huh? And what did Jesus say? God told Jesus, sit down here at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Folks, the feet's down here, and it's time for us to begin to put the devil under our feet. Well, and so he tries to deceive us, and he tries to distort the signal. He tries to muffle up the sound so we can't tell which voice we're listening to. And the more we are obedient to the muffled voice, the easier it is. I'm trying to say this where you can understand it. You don't need a spiritual sermon. You just need to understand where your relationship can be closer to God. So you just need to, when you walk out of here today, you don't even need to remember that Hank said anything that helped you. You just need to remember, man, I'm closer to you, God, than I was when I went in there. And that's why James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee. And Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give place to the devil. And I'm running a little behind here, so I'll do this real quick. But in James chapter 4, he says, the whole verse says, submit to God, and then resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, to get all that sermon, you need to get last week's message, okay? But you see, I resist him when I submit to him. I resist him when I commit my ways to him. He's not. Verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Folks, he's talking to born-again people there. He's saying, hey, commit your ways. Clean up the stuff in your life that the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about. Change the stuff. Fix the stuff in your life that you're being dealt with about. Draw close to me, and I'll draw close to you. I'm going to tell you what, anywhere God shows up, the devil takes off running. And in Ephesians 4:27, he says, don't give place to the devil. Now, I'm just trying to hit this part real light here, but how do you give place to the devil? Well, if you look in verse 22, he says, put off the old man, put off the concerning the former conduct, the old man, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You understand what he's saying? He's saying, put off that old conduct, put off that old stuff. Quit doing it. It's not causing you to have any progress. It's not causing God to love you any less, by the way. But it sure is opening the door for the devil to have his way in your life. So what's he talking about? How's he talking about giving place to the devil? Just, you can read this for yourself, but he talks about untruthfulness, anger, stealing, laziness, corrupt words. I mean, just words that don't edify each other, that tear each other up, or that are hateful, mean. He talks about all these things, but he says, be renewed. Have a different mind. You see, he says, when you're operating in all these things, all this unforgiveness, all this meanness, all this hatefulness, all this in lust and greed, and you know, we could go on and on and on. When you operate this way, you're giving place to the devil. Well, you just don't know, Hank. I just have a bad temper. I know. That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to change. Because every time you blow up, you open the door to the devil. When we live in these areas, it says he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? See, so you know, you don't live right. You don't live right. I don't want to say that. Holiness isn't for God's sake. Holiness is for your sake. Huh? See, I don't live right so that God could love me more, or so that He'll bless me more. No, that's all under grace. He's already taken care of that. When Jesus said it's finished, bless God, it was finished. That's why you can have the goodness of God in your life before you become a finished product. When you got saved, you were messed up big time still. Your spirit was new, but your body and your mind, boy, they weren't. They were a long way from being where they should be. But God still blessed you. Why? Because that's His grace. And you can we reach out with our faith and we take what grace has given us. And so this isn't that, but it's because when I'm doing the wrong things, it opens a door for the devil in my life. And there's a grace even in that, because I get away with it pretty much. Well, I think I do anyway, until God starts dealing with me about it. And when He starts dealing with me about it, and then I still do it, that's when the doors fly open. Does that make sense? So what am I saying? I'm saying my behaviors, when my behavior's not right, I can't hear God right. Why? Well, because I have a guilty conscience. Now listen to this. How does God lead us? He leads us by our spirit. What's the voice of our spirit? Our conscience. And so when I don't do what I know to do is right, guilt comes in. Now listen, condemnation will kill you. It'll make your life end up shorter. It'll make you live shorter. It'll bring disease into your life, all that pressure and stress, that condemnation. I'm telling you what, it messes up your whole system. It messes up your relationship from God, with God, not from His end, but from your end. Condemnation kills. That's why Jesus took all our condemnation on the cross. He took it all. That's why Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ. Now listen, God feels no condemnation towards us, but when I don't do what I know is right, my own heart condemns me. Are you with me? That's a pretty good reason to get it fixed up, isn't it? See, holiness isn't for God. Holiness is for us. He's already made us holy. He looks at us and He already sees us holy. But now, I mean, He already made us righteous. Paul said He's made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now walk in righteousness. See, I want to walk holy because it's for my end. Does that make any sense? I don't want to... Anyway, okay, so if I'm not right, then I'm not hearing right. If there's things God's dealing with me about, one time the bank put some money in my account that wasn't mine, and it was a pretty large sum of money, and I really kind of needed it, and I just waited 3 or 4 months before I said, I didn't spend it, I just waited 3 or 4. What I probably was doing, I probably was just weighing it out whether I really wanted to spend it or not spend it. Anyway, but the long story short, when I finally went and I met the president of the bank and we sit down and talk, and I said, man, in this account here, you've put some money in here, and I gave the date and I gave the thing I get from the bank, and he looked at it and said, no, let me go check. He couldn't believe it. And I said, he came back a little later and he said, Hank, I can't believe that. I said, you never would have found it, would you? And he said, no. He said, I can't believe that you came and brought it back. And I said, Carl, it's not worth staying awake at night over. You see, man, whatever it is, it's just not worth it for you to be in that torment. It's just not worth it. Get rid of it. So if I'm not living right, I'm not hearing right. And if I'm listening in the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude, I'm not hearing right. If I've got all this anger in me and all this unforgiveness and this mean-spirited, and if every time I talk about somebody, I'm just saying something negative about them, and you know, we could go on and on and on with this, and all this attitude and this mad at the world thing and this get even spirit, I'm not going to hear God's spirit like I should. He's still going to be talking. He always talks. Huh? He always is talking to you. You've never been in a mess or in a situation that God wasn't telling you how to get out of it. And probably if you go look, you've never been in one that He didn't tell you before it happened how to not get in it. But we all are guilty. All of us, everyone. So don't you feel bad about it. We're all there. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I want you to see in Galatians 5, it tells us how God is. In Galatians 5, it's called the fruits of the Spirit. Now these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And it says the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I just want you to understand that's the attributes of God. That's the nature of God. That's the way God is. That's the image He's trying to conform me into. Does that make sense? That's what He's trying to do in my life. He's trying to change me. See, and he talks all this. We don't have time to do all that stuff, but he talks about the works of the flesh, and you ought to read this. And when you catch yourself in this bad place, you just need to say, this isn't something we attain with willpower. This is something we do with faith. And when I find myself over here and that jerk is in front of me and he won't go and the light changes, or he's driving, coming in, she was only going 5 miles an hour. When that guy have to go, whoa, Father, forgive me. I don't want to be that way. I want to be this way. Bless you, sister. Slow down. You're going too fast. You see, when I catch myself, mad? Hey, husbands, wives, when you feel that thing, nobody can get you madder quicker than your husband or your wife. Now I'm meddling. I'll go through that one fast. When you feel that thing raise up and you go, nope, 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 you'll not have any part of me. I'm just not going to do that today. Same way with a brother or sister. Because our battle's not flesh and blood. What's he doing? He's trying to, with his craftiness, he's trying to change our behavior. So that we don't act like Jesus, we act like him. And I'll just be darned if I'm going to act like him anymore. I've been an old horse's patootie enough in my life. Now it's time for me to try to be different. That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do. So how do I develop this in my life? And again, remember, my attitude and my character and my actions, those aren't things that you just wake up one day and change. They're things that you step by step, glory to glory, line upon line, precept upon precept, the things in our life begin to change and we begin to be more like him. How does that happen? Well, we develop that. We can develop our lives to a place where we can hear God all the time. We can do that. We can develop ourselves to that place. And it's mainly by hearing and then doing. Don't do that, Hank. Yes, sir, I'm not going to do that. Don't say that again, Hank. Yes, sir, I'm not going to say that again. I might still do it, but every time I do, I remember that faith statement I made. Father, I'm not going to do it. With your help, I'm not going to do it. And so what does that happen? It happens by me beholding him. It happens to me by me spending more time with him. It happens in my life as I expose myself to the things of God. Does that make sense? See, I have to be. He's knocking at the door. I just have to open the door and let him come in. And he'll sup with me. He'll talk with me. He'll fellowship with me. And you know, folks, we just need to take some time to be with him. I want to read you a verse in Matthew 14. You know, Matthew 14 he feeds the 5,000, and he gets done feeding the 5,000, and he tells the guys, you get in the boat and go on to the other side while I dismiss the people. And he dismisses all the people. And in verse 14:23, it says this. It says, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Hear that? By himself to pray. Now when evening was come, he was alone. Now listen to that. Jesus separated himself. He knew when he took time to be with the Father. You know, folks, I told God one time, I said, I just want to know how to hear you. I just want to know you better. And he said, well, Hank, then spend some more time with me. And I thought this was interesting because, you know, see, it says that on the fourth watch, he was walking on the water. Okay? The fourth watch was between 3 and 6 in the morning. Okay? And so the beginning of the thing there, it says he sent the multitudes away and he went on the mountain and then evening came. So he went up on this mountain when it was still daylight. And he spent most of the night there talking with Daddy. Does that make sense? See, we give him 5 minutes every once in a while if we happen to think about it. And we'll get to Wednesday or Thursday and we'll go, whoops, yeah, well, I was gonna read a little bit out of my Bible every day and I haven't done that. And we do this mental ascent thing and then we wonder why we think we're still hearing, but we're getting further and further off track because we're not tuning up that GPS inside of us. I just thought that was amazing that he went before dark and he didn't come back down until between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. No wonder he could walk on the water, huh? You see, I can't hear if I don't spend time with him. Now, remember, we're step by step. And you can't hear something that I say. You can't hear this and say, okay, well, God's telling me to pray all night tonight. Well, because you won't make it. You'll make it till whatever your normal bedtime is, and then you'll fall asleep. And then you'll wake up later because you're supposed to be praying, and you'll be under condemnation about it. Nobody ever did that, did you? I'm going to pray for 2 hours, Father, and 5 minutes into it. Listen, Jesus didn't just get up one day and have this relationship with the Father. If you'll check the story out, clear back when he was 12 years old, he was in the temple being about his Father's business. It's something he grew into. The Bible says that he grew just like we grow. It's interesting. And so you know, folks, we need to give him some time. We need to spend some time with the Word. We need to spend some time. He said, well, I've got so many things going. I've just got so many things happening. I know. But in a few minutes, all those things that you're building up and all those things that you got going are going to burn up in a puff of smoke. And the only thing I'm going to have left when that happens is my relationship with God and what I have with Him. Does that mean you don't do all those things? No, because some of you can't. You can't spend 3 hours a day reading the Bible. You can't spend 2 hours a day praying. I mean, you've got kids, you've got ball games, you've got jobs, you've got laundry, you've got housework, you've got blah, 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 all the rest of that. But you can still focus on the things of God all day. You can still be praising Him and visiting with Him all day, no matter what you're doing. He just wants to be first. How much time I spend with Him determines how well I can hear Him. And being involved with Him and the things of God with Him. And truth is, most of us just need to focus. We just need to focus. I love Mark chapter 6, 52. And it's still the place, the same thing, telling the same story about the 5,000 and him walking on the water. And when he got in the boat, all the wind stopped and everything. And the disciples were amazed. And Jesus rebuke's not quite the right word, I don't think. But he kind of rebuked them a little bit. And he said, what's the matter with you? How come you're afraid? And verse 52 in Mark chapter 6 says, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. In other words, they had just seen 5,000 fed, actually probably 20,000 fed when you take the rest of the families, but they had just seen that, and they got right in the boat and went right out on the water and got in the storm, and they were afraid. They weren't focused on the loaves. They weren't focused on what God had just done. They weren't focused on His goodness. Does that make sense? And if we're not focused on Him, man, we'll collapse in the storm. It says their hearts were hardened. That isn't a mean thing he's saying. It said they just got... I used to play the guitar when I was a little kid, and I know I started to check some of the guitar players' fingers, but after you play for a few months and you're fretting and you're doing the strings, you get calluses on your finger. And it doesn't happen all at once, because at first your fingers are real sore, but then after a while they just hit a layer of callus, and then another layer of callus, and then another layer, and another layer, and pretty soon, and you got it, man, you can just do it, man. But that's kind of the way our hearts are. You see, every time I hear and I don't do, a little layer of insensitivity comes over my heart. I don't really think that's a word, but you know what I'm saying. A little bitty layer, and then every time then I do it again, and another little layer, and another little layer, and pretty soon, it's not that God's not speaking anymore, it's that I'm not listening, because my heart, I've just thought about everything else, and I've just paid attention to everything else, and I haven't focused on the loaves. Whatever you focus on, you'll become more sensitive to. Whatever I spend the majority of my time focusing on will affect my hearing the voice of God. They didn't concentrate. They didn't consider the loaves. Ephesians 4:17, and I'll do this real quick, He says, I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. I got to look, and that word vanity, one of Strong's renderings of that Greek word vanity, one of those says transientness. We often refer to homeless people as transients. Why? Well, because they don't ever stay in one place. Our minds become that way because we don't stay focused on God or in one place long enough to accomplish anything. You know the power of a laser? We hear a lot about lasers now. But the power of a laser lies in the fact that all its energy is focused into one little small pinpoint accuracy. And they can take a laser beam and cut through steel. But when you begin to diffuse that energy, then it's just a light and it doesn't do anything. That's kind of the way our minds are. Our minds need to be focused. We need to be focused. You know, in our lifestyle today, we focus on everything. But Paul said, I do one thing. You know, some of you that are doing a whole lot of things, you just need to try just to do one thing for a little bit. Anybody ever heard of somebody that was a jack of all trades and a master of none? That's kind of the way we are with the things of God. Paul said, I do this one thing in Philippians 3:13. He said, but one thing I do. There's this laser down to this pinpoint accuracy. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the mark. I go after the calling. I'm going after what God's got. I've got my attention focused on one thing. I'm going to be all God wants me to be. I'm going to do all God wants me to do. The reason he was successful is because he stayed focused. You want to kill a person's vision? Give them two. Because we're not geared to do that, you know. We hear the word, and I hear it from a lot of people all the time. I'm multitasking. You know what that means? It means you're just doing a whole lot more, not as good, as if you were focused on one thing at a time. Now I understand we got things to do, and we got a multiple thing. We live in a complex society, and I know all that. But hear what I'm saying. You can either do a whole bunch of things not so good, or you can do one thing and do it good, and then do another thing and do it good. Sometimes that's an excuse for us just to be wondering generalities, and we don't have to focus on anything, and we don't have to face what's going on. Well, you ever have a teacher tell you, "Class, give me your undivided attention." You ever have a coach tell you, "Come on, Hank, get your head in the game." What is all this saying? It's all saying, come on, get focused. Get focused. You want to be successful for God? Get focused on Him. You want to hear His voice? Get focused on Him. What did Joshua 1:8 say? He said, meditate on this day and night. It didn't mean just sit there and look at this day and night and not go to work and not go provide for your family and not take care of the kids and not do anything. No, he said, focus on me. And you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Well, What have I said? I've said, hey, live your life for the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit make the changes. I need to let Him make the changes in my life that He's trying to make. I need to let Him instill that fruit in my life. I need to let him grow me, if you will. I need to let Him transform me. I need to let Him conform me. And that only happens if I'm spending time with Him. It only happens if I'm going after Him. It only happens if I let Him be my main focus. See, when He said, seek me first, that's all He was saying, Hank, was seek me first. Huh? He's just saying, put me first. Yeah, I'll go do your job. Yeah, I'll go take care of the kids. Yeah, I'll go do all this. But think about me first. Put me first. Well, trying every week to give you some things that'll help you hear the Lord better. Probably would be good if you'd get the message and listen to it again. And I know most of you won't do that, but some of you will, and I understand that. That's not a guilt thing, because I got boxes of cassette tapes that I don't ever listen to. I got piles of CDs that I don't ever listen to. So we're all in the same boat. But you see, go after God. He says, draw close to me, and I'll draw close to you. Seek me, and you'll find me. Knock, I'll open the door. Does that make sense? Well, did you get anything today? Well, praise the Lord. Everybody stand. We're going to sing a song here. Somebody in here, you prayed that prayer when we prayed it at the beginning. And if you did that, I want you to come down, because we just want to pray with you again. Somebody in here, you don't know that you're right with the Lord today. And if that's you, come on down. We just want to pray with you. We won't haul you off any place and do anything bad to you. We just want to pray with you and help God get in contact with you. Some of you came here today to be baptized. If that's you, once you come, we've got robes and towels and everything you need. You just step out and come. We got somebody to baptize you. And maybe you didn't even think about it, but God's been dealing with you about it. This is your time. Just come on today and do it. So whatever it is you need from God, if you need to be prayed for, we've got some folks. We'll anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And the Bible says you'll be made well. So whatever you need, just come on now. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on. Somebody else needs to be baptized. What do you need? Whatever you need, come on. Lori and Jake are ready here to baptize. Do you need to be baptized? Come on. You've been wrestling that and fighting that and debating on whether you should or not. If you don't know for sure whether you should or not, just do it. Then you won't have that debate this week. How about that? You sing one more time, and anybody that you don't, if you don't know you're right with God, come down and let us pray with you. If you just have anything you'd like us to agree with you, come down. One of us will pray with you, because we love you. If you're going to come, come. Heaven, whoever you are, don't miss heaven. Nothing's worth that. This love is so deep. Don't miss what God's got for you. I melt in your peace. And I'm just taking a little longer because we just haven't done it in a few weeks, and there's nothing more important than you receiving Jesus. as your personal Lord and Savior. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody in here, you didn't come. Just right now, if you didn't already do this, just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me right now. I want to live for you. I give you my life. I need your help. If you said that in a minute, after we dismiss here, come on down and we'll still pray with you. Because we want you to be with the Lord forever. How many, say something with me again. I am his sheep, and I hear his voice. Praise the Lord. How many think you're starting to hear a little clearer? Well, I'm believing God to do that in all of our lives. And got Mr. and Mrs. Danny Worthington here today. They tied the knot Friday, so. Praise the Lord. Holy Spirit spoke to them and they obeyed. How about that? Hey, I love you. I speak God's blessings into your life. I believe him to do things in your life this day and this week. Things that you've been believing for, things that you've been desiring. I believe him to show you his love like he's never shown you before. And I believe him to speak to you clearer than he's ever spoke to you before. And you go this week, you be blessed, you have a great Thanksgiving, and be thankful to the Lord for all he's done, okay? Hey, I love you. If you can come tonight, come on, eat some cake with me. Love you. See you next time.